My introduction to the gilded style of the 47th president came in 2016, when I went to Mar-a-Lago to cover his victory celebration after the Florida presidential primary. The Donald J. Trump Grand Ballroom was awash in gold filigree. His guests bespoke similar opulence. Today, the Oval Office is also done up in gold, and a giant ballroom off the east wing of the White House is in the works. The architect's renderings look just like other Trump ballrooms. But the controversy isn't in the style, it's in the scale. Alterations to the White House are nothing new, but having been in much of the building, including the private residence upstairs, I can say that a 90,000 square foot addition is hard to imagine. You can read my story at csmonitor.com/daily. It's Friday, August 8th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Israel is considering an expansion of military operations in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that to destroy Hamas, Israel intends to take full control of the Gaza Strip. He said Israel would eventually transfer Gaza's administration to friendly Arab forces, as the Security Cabinet discussed a widening of its 22-month offensive. Hospitals in Gaza, meanwhile, said at least 42 Palestinians were killed in Israeli airstrikes and shootings. Indian authorities in Kashmir ban books by eminent writers. They say the 25 books propagate false narratives and secessionism in the disputed region, where strict controls on the media have escalated in recent years. Police said Thursday that officers raided bookstores and searched roadside book vendors to confiscate the banned literature. Kashmir has been a disputed region with ongoing conflict between India and Pakistan. Many Kashmiris support independence or joining Pakistan. Also, Jen Powell is set to make history tomorrow as the first woman to serve as umpire in a Major League Baseball regular season game. She will be working the bases in Atlanta for the Miami Marlins and the Atlanta Braves. The milestone comes 3 decades after the gender barrier for officiating games was broken in the NBA, followed by the NFL 10 years ago. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. What are the Israeli government's plans for Gaza and its people? Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has spoken of a new level of Israeli control in order to ensure security. But he also maintains that Israel has no plans to govern the enclave. We sift through some of the critiques and rationale for an emerging plan and what it could bode for Palestinians facing starvation and for the remaining Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Dina Kraft reports from Tel Aviv for the Monitor. Russia's military presence on a narrow sandbar controlling a major Black Sea access point has badly disrupted Ukraine's economy. What can Kyiv do about that? Howard Lafranchi reports from Ochakiv, Ukraine for the Monitor. The leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan are visiting the White House in hopes of a peace deal. As power in the region shifts, the Trump administration offers a balanced approach both sides want to trust. Fred Weir reports from Moscow for the Monitor. Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni, whose party has a fascist background, has proved unexpectedly ready to work with moderate European leaders. Is she shaping a new mold for far-right politicians? Ned Temko reports from London for the Monitor. This summer's Tour de France has come and gone, but memories of cycling through Provence will stay vivid for a long time. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Michael S. Hopkins report from Avignon, France, for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on atoning for France's imperial past. The French people are justly proud of much of their heritage, especially cultural icons from the Eiffel Tower to the Île Flottante, the floating island dessert. Recently, however, pride has partly given way to contriteness as President Emmanuel Macron, aware of France's legacy as a former heavy-handed empire, has attempted to make amends for mistakes during the country's imperial past. In July, for example, Mr. Macron announced his intention to recognize a Palestinian state, in large part to help end the war and hunger in Gaza. Yet, in an allusion to France's role, along with Britain's, in dividing up the region more than a century ago as the Ottoman Empire collapsed, he posted on the social platform X that he wanted France to be true to its historic commitment to a lasting peace in the Middle East. For Mr. Macron, this is a moral, historical, and forward-looking decision, wrote commentator Sefi Handler on the Israeli news site Haaretz. Soon after the announcement, Britain offered a similar pledge to recognize a Palestinian state. Its foreign secretary said it was doing so with the hand of history on our shoulders. Also in July, the French leader made good on fixing the reputation of a Jewish French army officer, Alfred Dreyfus, who was falsely accused in 1894 of selling military secrets to Germany during the height of European colonialism. Mr. Macron declared that, starting next July 12, the date that Dreyfus was exonerated in 1906, France will hold a memorial ceremony every year for the victory of justice and truth against hatred and anti-Semitism. Since becoming president in 2017, Mr. Macron has taken steps toward atonement with several former colonies in Africa. He acknowledged a 1945 massacre in Algeria, for example, and issued an apology for a violent repression of a 1947 uprising in Madagascar. On June 19th, according to news reports, France said it is open to dialogue with Niger about the French role in an 1899 massacre there. Mr. Macron has taken a steady but cautious approach in dealing with the demands of former colonies. Rather than relying on French pride, he is slowly encouraging his nation to look hard at its history. During a trip to Algeria in 2022, he was plain about what was needed. "The time has come," he said, "for humility," saying that painful common past has at times prevented us from looking to the future. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, when we are out of time and out of ideas, we can turn to God, whose inspiration never runs out. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Alyssa Britton and Hannah Gurka.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2025.